So this week is Parshas Toldos, and anybody who spends some time with Yitzchak will encounter the darkness. The Zohar Kodesh says in this week's Sedra, "Vayikra lekim lo'or yoim," God called the day, the light day. This is Avraham. L'choshech kora laila, and to the darkness he called night. This is Yitzchak. So, spending some time with Yitzchak, learning to see things through Yitzchak's perception, if not through his eyes, we encounter something completely different from what we've had until now. And really, we mostly experience life, or we try to experience life, through the vision that Avraham Avinu is given, because it seems, it appears, it feels like it would be more attractive, and the payoff is immediate. Avraham looks at the world and is always looking for the presence of God in the world, the vision. Avraham wants to see Kvod Shemaim, he wants to see the glory of heaven, and that's Avraham's prayer. It's interesting, in Ishbitz, they said, even though the Torah doesn't say that Avraham prayed for children, doesn't say anywhere Avraham prayed for children, and yet this week, the beginning of the Sedra, that Yitzchak davens, he davens and davens. And the Gemara says, "Vayetar," why it uses this word of asira. Asira is like a pitchfork, the Gemara says, and just the way a pitchfork can turn over a whole granary full of grain, full of straw and wheat, and it can turn it all over. So the tzaddik, with his prayer, can turn everything upside down, and can turn God's anger to mercy. So Yitzhak, we see he prays, and Avraham doesn't pray. And Ishbitz, they say that's because you can assume from what you know about Avraham that all his life he does nothing else but pray for a child. And this is something that we've said over the years again and again, that Avraham only wants to spread knowledge of God in the world. That's his whole life, from when he's 3 years old. Ribbono shel Olam, the world would be, you would be, why don't you just let everybody know who you are, where you are, what you are? And that was Avraham Avinu's prayer. And he said, Ribbono shel Olam, why don't you do those things that will increase Kvod Shemayim, that will spread the glory of heaven? To Avraham, that was the great mystery. And Avraham and Sarah, they say, if we had children, we would teach those children about God and the glory of God and the love of God, the worship of God. Avraham's whole life was a tefillah. The thing is that Yitzchak's life is completely different. Yitzchak doesn't know. Whatever he doesn't know, he doesn't do. Avraham, he trusts. Avraham has faith in God. And so Avraham is ready to go down to Egypt. If there's a famine in the land of Canaan, Even though God hasn't said to him, go down to Egypt, Avram is ready to go down to Egypt, into that place of complete denial of the glory of God, and put himself and his wife, Sarah, at risk. Yitzchak is so not ready to do that. Yitzchak will only do what he knows. What does he know? Yitzchak does not even daven for children. This is the Ishbitzer insight. He says, what do I know? Do I know if having children is a good thing? How can I know that? So Yitzchak does not even pray for children, because he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, if you want me to have children, I'll have children, that's for sure. And if you want it to happen, it'll happen. It must be a good thing, because if you want it to happen. But that I should ask for something? We were saying last week, you know, that Yitzchak, he went by Yetze Yitzchak Lasur Basoda. Yitzchak goes out to daven, because he thinks to himself, you know, I'm 40 years old. And, you know, I also have to be fruitful and multiply and I probably have to daven for a shidduch and so on. He doesn't even get to daven. He doesn't even actually start davening. And the camel, and he sees his camel coming towards him, and Rivka falls off the camel at his feet. That's Yitzchak, you know. What Yitzchak does is he sows the seed. Vayizra Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is seed. As God says to Avram, Ki be Yitzchak yikor lecha zora, that Yitzchak is going to be your seed. Yitzchak is seed. And the thing about seed is that it has to go into the ground. You know, you cannot put a seed on your windowsill and expect it to grow. That's not what happens. To have seed, you have to dig a hole in the ground and plant it and cover it. It has to go into the dark. And that's Yitzchak's life. Yitzchak has to go into the dark. And Yitzchak himself is afraid to be in the light. And Yitzchak's, when we talk about Yitzchak and fear, he was so afraid. He was so afraid to do anything. He was even afraid to daven for anything. He was so mitzumtzam. Can you imagine what it feels like to desire something, but to be so afraid in case your desires are not the right desire, that you hold yourself back from saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, I would like this, or Rabbeinu Shalom, may it please you to give me this, or to daven, Rabbeinu Shalom, wouldn't you like to use me in such a way? Yitzchak is so afraid that he cannot even ask to be a conduit for the light. Yitzchak is so much buried in the dark. Yitzchak the word is mitzumtzam. He's surrounded with boundaries and from every side and every corner. He can't move for his fear. And this is the meaning of Vayeta Yitzchak. This is how the Ishbitzer learned this. That when the Torah says that Yitzchak prays, and his prayer is an asira, it's like a pitchfork that can turn everything upside down, that Yitzchak's self-control and containedness, Yitzchak's ability to hold himself in, not even to daven, not even to pray, not even to ask for anything. That is the ultimate moving prayer. You see, we think that davening is, I say, Rabbani Shalom, please give me this, or please, Rabbani Shalom, I so much hope that you could send a refu shalema for this person. I know somebody needs something, please. We think that this is davening. But for Yitzchak, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach, Yitzchak goes out to whisper. He goes out to meditate. He goes out, when he goes to daven, he goes to plant himself like a seed. I don't have words to ask for what I want. I don't have any power to tell you what I want. Master of the universe, I so don't have anything of my own. So Yitzchak goes into the darkness. Yitzchak's davening has power that nobody else's davening has. Mamash, it has the power to overturn everything that exists because it claims no power. And the way that we are with God, so is God with us. The middle shodem moided, in the measure that a person measures, kach moidim loy, that's how he is measured. For Yitzchak, davening meant just exploring his nothingness. It meant, if there was any speech in Yitzchak, it was, Rabbani Shem, I have nothing. I don't have words. I don't have thoughts. Everything that I am is what you make. Everything that I think are thoughts that you put inside me. Everything that I hope for, it's just you. What am I? See, Avraham is the koyach of teshuka. Avraham is the power of longing. And Avraham, he spends his whole life making birurin so that his longing should be transparent to God. And that's why that Avraham keeps on, you know, keeps on circling around and around the south, and the word Negev means dryness. You know, that Avraham keeps, because wetness is the desire, and Avraham keeps on purifying his desire so that it's not about himself. It's not about his needs, it's not about his wants, but that he keeps on exploring desire itself, and saying that Avram Zokim Bo Bayomim, Avram gets old, and even as he gets older, he comes to a clearer and clearer desire, to the point where, you know, he can marry again after the passing of Sarah and have these children to which, you know, we have, there's no connection to Kedusha, they're unholy, and all they are is they represent the flow of Avraham's desire. And Avraham is desire, you know, and at the risk of repeating myself, you know, Avraham's whole life was just desire that God be manifest in the world and that God's glory be great in the world. That's all Avraham wanted, and everything that he did, that's all that it was. Avraham was desire. Yitzchak, what is Yitzchak? Yitzchak is the fulfillment of Avraham's desire. So I would think that if Yitzchak is the fulfillment of Avraham's desire, then he's the payoff. And that's really, the truth is, that's what Yitzchak is. He's the payoff. The thing is that Yitzchak has his own way of worshipping God. And Yitzchak's way of worshipping God is zriya, is planting the seed. Everything that we think of as payoff is the produce, the fruit. But everything that Yitzhak is planting. And this is the essential difference. And again, it's b'midas adam moedidim, because Yitzhak spends his whole life planting seed. Everything that he receives, he bears again, saying, God, I'm powerless. You can make it grow. Everything Yitzhak receives, whether it's the love of his wife, whether it's his marriage, whether it's the intimacy that comes with marriage, whether it's the great wealth that comes to him, everything that Yitzhak receives, he plants back into the darkness. And then even when it's his children, he plants back into the darkness. And this is why Yitzhak is prepared to bless Esav rather than Yaakov, because Esav is so dark. Yitzhak knows exactly who Esav is. Thing is, we say, Vayikra lekim la'or yom, God calls the light day. This is Avraham. Avraham thinks, as we do, that daylight, when you can see things, that is the manifestation of the revelation of the divine. At nighttime, you can't see anything. We go to sleep. You know, there's nothing here. There's nothing to see. It's dark. Of course, we know, Vayhi erev, vayhi voker. It was evening, it was morning, the first day, day one. Why? Because the evening is really when it's all happening, when it's dark. Because when it's dark, that's when the world is receiving the hashpoah. We were learning in Pashas Bereishis, in the very first sedra of this cycle, we were learning how the dark, really, what we think of as the dark, that's the light. That is the divine essence, and the wall that prevents us from experiencing it, that's what makes us think that there is a darkness. But in fact, that's the light, and the only way that we have of knowing that there's something on the other side of the wall is through that crack in the wall, which is human shaped. And so the light that's on the other side of the wall comes through that human shape, and so God has that shape. The light has that shape, which is the shape of us. Yitzhak knows that the shefa, the abundance that flows into the world from God is really night. It's really darkness. So it's not that Yitzhak is blind. If Yitzhak were truly blind and were a balmum and had a blemish, then the Shekhinah would not be resting upon him. He wouldn't be this great prophet. Yitzhak's blindness is that he's turned himself away from the day and he's opening himself up to the night, to that light which is beyond the wall, in order to convey it to the world. And this is why we were learning in Sefer Yetzirah, again, we came back to it again and again, that Yitzhak shows us HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'inayu. Mechavelu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'inayu. You know, the God says to Avraham, it says and in the future, God will say to Avraham, your children have sinned. And Avraham will say, well, you know, let them work it off. Yaakov, God will say to Yaakov, your children have sinned. And he'll say, yeah, Yimochu HaKadosh Hashem, let them work it off by sanctifying your name. Yitzchak, God says to Yitzchak, you know, your children have sinned. And Yitzchak starts to argue. And he says, what? Children? My children? They're not your children. What's, you called them plenty my children. Anyway, pal galai, pal galoch. Look, I'll take half, you take half. And if you refuse, Hala kravis nafshi kravis kamach. I gave you my soul already. I gave you. Because, you know, there's my ashes on the altar of the Akedah. I gave. And then the Gemara says, Machavlu Yitzhak Kodesh Baruch Hu Beinayu, that God shows all the Jewish people, he shows them God with their eyes. Something that Avraham and Yitzchak can't do. Avraham and Yaakov can't do that. Only Yitzchak can show us God with our eyes, because Avraham has this kivoy, this longing. What is the longing? The longing is that God be revealed in the world. So for Avraham, the idea of payoff is immediate. That's what Avraham wants. You know, he wants God to be revealed in the world. It's not about the future, it's about now. Yitzchak, his whole life is about bearing the seed, meaning planting for the future. Everything about Yitzchak is for the future. And that's why Yitzchak is on the left side of the tree, because that represents the future. And as far as the future concerned, you know, when God says to Avram, your children have sinned, Avram doesn't really have a comeback. You know, it's like, because we already had our payoff, so to speak. We got paid immediately for our desire for God. We got it. But Yitzhak didn't get any payoff yet. For him, there's been nothing. There's only been the planting. There's only been the Zriya, there's only been the Tefillah, there's only been the giving back and saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, only you can do. And this is why Yitzhak is ready to bless Esav, even though Esav is a Rosho, because Yitzhak knows that there's no such thing as a tzaddik until God says, this person is a tzaddik. Yeah, God says this person is a tzaddik. All their deeds are righteous. If God had said Esav is a tzaddik, Esav would have been a tzaddik. What do you mean? God can't do whatever he wants. Of course he can do whatever he wants. So even though Yitzchak can see that Esav just is mispashit b'chol ha'olam, he just does whatever he wants in the world, and he takes and he grabs. Yitzchak knows that if God says Esav is a tzaddik, then everything that Esav will have done will have been shown to have been the right thing. So he wants to bless Esav. And the truth is, had he blessed Esav, that's how it would have been, because we know that when Esav finally discovers that Yitzchak has blessed Yaakov, he screams this terrible scream, and he cries because he knows that whatever came out of Yitzchak's mouth, whatever he decreed, that is it. Why? Because Yitzchak doesn't do things. Yitzchak doesn't decree. Yitzchak doesn't even pray for things. Yitzchak won't even daven for children in case it's not the right thing, in case the children aren't the right children. And so, b'midah she'odem moided, in that same measure that a person measures himself, he gets measured. Therefore, his words have such power. Gam baruch hu, he says. He realizes after Esav says to him, but then you didn't bless me, you blessed Yaakov. He realized that that was what he was supposed to have done. Why couldn't he do that? Because Yitzchak is minas ad-din. The din says, the law says, you give the firstborn's portion. Yitzchak doesn't have a right to change any of that. So he has to go along with what he did. Esav, remember, Esav sold his bechora to Yaakov. There was one moment we see where Esav says, I'm ready to sell my whole future for a now. When he says to Yaakov, Haliteini no mina odoi ma odoi mazeh, you've got to feed me some of this red food that you're making, because I'm going to die if I don't get it right now. In that moment where Esav said, I want the right now, you can have the bechira. At that moment, that's when everything swapped around, because Yitzchak was expecting Esav to have his own midah of, I'm only planting for the future, not for the now. For the now, this is the midah of Avraham. Bnei Shalom, please make it happen now. Yitzchak was everything about, there's no now. I don't even know what to ask for now. I'm just, whatever you give me, God, I'm going to plant it. Esav, by saying, I want a taste of Olam Hazen now, when he said to Yaakov. Yaakov said, you can have that, but then you have to let go of this Bechira, which is the midah of your father Yitzchak, which is not about now. It's interesting that when Yitzchak wants to bless Esav, he says to him, Kelecho, telecho, kashtecho, take your bow, your arrows, your quiver, all these things, with sudali tzayit, and trap me some game. The word tzayit, instead of being spelled tzadik yudalad, is spelled tzadik yudalad hey. There's a hey on the end that we don't read. It's a Korean exiv. Tzudali tzayit. And the Zohar Kodesh says, Rivka said to Yaakov, I heard your father, he said, bring me this food because I want to bless you lifnei Hashem, before God. And nowhere in the speech with Esav do we find that Yitzhak said before God. He said, I want to bless you like my soul will bless you if you bring me this good food. And he doesn't say lifnei Hashem, before God. And yet Rivka, when she says to Yaakov, I overheard your father speaking to Esav, and in order that my soul should bless you before God. So Zohar Kodesh says this was the hey that she heard on the end of the word, tzayit. It's a very interesting concept, right? That Yitzchak says, v'tzudali tzayit, and she hears a hey on the end, and she says to herself, oh, this is lifnei Hashem. This is before God. See, Yitzchak was inviting Esav to seduce him with the food and the wine. Because Yitzchak said, I can't do anything. I've never done anything my whole life. I went out thinking that I was going to daven for a shidduch, and she fell off the camel and said, Yitzchak, to do anything, as we said, Vayeta Yitzchak, that Yitzchak's overturning God's decree, that it came about through not davening. Through the davening, which is so tightly suppressed that it becomes like, what does it become like? It becomes like, Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basode. He goes out to pray in the field. We don't go out to pray in the field. We go into a house. We go into a house with windows. Like the Gemara says, that a Beis HaMedrash, Beis HaKnesset, a place where you daven should have windows, which we learn from the Pasuk in Daniel. And so it's brought in a halacha that a Beis HaMedrash, a Beis HaKnesset should have 13 windows. And because for us, davening is like a tkiyas shofar. For us, davening comes out of that place of min hametza, from the enkite, from the pressure that builds up inside, comes out the prayer. Like the blast of the shofar that comes out by the pressure that the shofar puts on the mouth and the breath and the this, and it bursts through into this blast of sound, which is the Tikiyas Shofar. Yitzchak was under so much pressure. For him, there's no concept of having to be inside a house so that the sound builds up inside there and bursts through the windows and goes up to heaven. There doesn't exist such a thing. He goes out into the field to daven because he himself, you could say, he is the shofar. He's beyond needing a place to put him in pressure. He's beyond. He is under. He doesn't daven. He can't daven. He's under so much pressure. Inside him, everything is happening. As we said, that when you look inside you and you see the Shekhinah, that's the Bechina of Yitzchak. That's the Pachad Yitzchak. That's the terror of Yitzchak. And he sees inside himself. How come Yitzchak is able, to have joy in sex, like the Torah tells us? How come he's able to say, and make me food like I like? He's inviting Esav to give him pleasure and to make him tipsy with wine so that a bracha should come out. Yitzchak knows that from his own self, he's not going to be able to utter any words. However much he should want to, he'll be like this moment of wanting to go out and daven for a shidduch, and he doesn't get allowed to daven. The shidduch falls off the camel at his feet. So Yitzchak says to Esav, you'll make me some good food, and you'll give me to drink, and I'll become a little bit tipsy, and then these brachas which are inside me will come out. How come Yitzchak can enjoy food? How come he can allow himself to get shikr? How come the Torah tells us, and Avimelech looks through the window, through the sky or whatever, and he sees Yitzchak mitzachik is Rivka, laughing with Rivka, and then he says to her, you said she's your sister, but obviously she's your wife. What does intimacy mean for Yitzchak? Yitzchak plants seed, which means Yitzchak doesn't take for himself. Yitzchak turns into the dark. He lives in the Erev. Ulachoshech kora laila, into the darkness he calls night. As the Zohar Kodesh says, that's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is in that place where he's just receiving. Like, for himself he might as well be asleep. He's living in that darkness, and yet Yitzchak is so tuned in to everything that's happening inside him that Yitzchak is available to Rivka to be that conduit for the life force to flow. That is Yitzchak. It's interesting, there's the Bisyakir this week. He says, Bishar Satifa Satalis, when somebody puts on a talis, Shoyre Hachayim Shel Hashem Yisbarach Bezeh Hatalis, God's life, the life force, which is the divine that flows through the universe, that force wraps itself in the talis. V'hatalis Hurak Levush V'tzion Leguf Hachayim. The talis is just a symbol, a tzion, a mark. We call a tombstone a tzion, a mark, something that stands out, mitsuyan, something that is remarkable. The talis that the person wears is just clothing for the chayim, for the life force. Really, what I'm wrapping myself, when I wrap myself in the talis, is the life force. And we learned that in the Me'er Shilach a few times, where he talks about levushim, when in Chukas, when he talks about the Pora Aduma, the red heifer, and he says that in the future God will reveal His glory without any kind of clothing. Because now, he says, now there's also that glory, there's the life force. I mean, what is the life force? It's life, it's God. And it's there inside everybody. But it's not, you can't see it. You can only be seen in the garments that it wears. And the garments that the life force wears is the Torah and the mitzvahs. And a person can't really access the life force of God without accessing somehow the Torah and the mitzvahs, because they are the clothing of God. And that's how we're commanded now. And but Yaakov goes on to say that also in the name, this Ishbis, I think it's from Pshischa, that this ki kol ha'olam hazeh, that this world is like a dream, and the future is the pitaron, is the explanation of the dream. And that's why it says hayinu kecholmim, and it will be in the future b'shuv Hashem es shivas Sion, when God returns the shivas Sion, then hayinu kecholmim, we will have been like dreamers. So this life that we're in is a dream. What is a dream? A dream are symbols that are pointing towards what really is going on, and you don't really know what's going on. The dream has to have a pitaron, and the Gemara says that sometimes the pitaron can be completely different. Like this man who dreamt that his arms were being cut off, and they said to him, because you're coming into great wealth, and that means that you're not going to have to do work for yourself. Other people are going to be taking care of you, whatever you want. So. The dream can have a completely different interpretation. This life, this world that we're living in, it's a dream. And everything that we do, all the mitzvahs that we do, they are like the dream, but the real meaning, the pitaron, the explanation, that only comes in the future. So then he says, "V'chein b'chol ha'mitzvos shehem kefi ha'chayim shehashem yizborach shoyre b'ha'odam." You know, the mitzvahs that a person does, they are, what are they? They are the life force. The mitzvah is the life force that's cloaked. So he gives the moshel of the talis, right? That the talis, really, I think I'm being wrapped in wool. I'm not being wrapped in wool. I'm being wrapped in the life force of God. He says, what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is my worshipping of God, right? I put on the talis. I say, Rabbani Shalom, you commanded me to put on the talis. I'm doing this in response to your command. So the word avoida, the word worship, then means work. An eved is a slave. My avoider, my worship is work. What is work? Well, you can't work if you're dead. Work is the acting out of the life force. So as much of my life force as I put into the mitzvah, that is how much life force of God is in the mitzvah. So my life force is God. So God says, all right, so how much life force did you put into this mitzvah when you did the mitzvah, whatever the mitzvah was? If I'm lighting candles for Shabbos, or, you know, I'm davening, or I'm giving tzedakah, right? If I do somebody a favor, how much cheshek, how much desire, how much passion do I put into the, whatever the passion is, that's the manifestation of God, because that's what's inside me. What is it inside me? What is it that makes me alive and capable of doing things? It's God. It's the life force, which is the Yitzchak inside us. So, Avraham Avinu, he says, Hoyeloi hat Zioinim vuhu avoides shitzurich odim letzamtzim atzmim boilem hazeh. Avraham could see the worship that a person needs to do in this world. And Yitzchak, he's the me'ein le'osid. Yitzchak is in the future. He's in the olam haba. He's already in the pitaron. He's in the explanation of the things. So he can see she'Hashem yisborach he'eloi ha'chaim shel ha'tzionim shehoi l'Avraham. Yitzchak can explain, can interpret all the metaphors of Avraham's life. That's why it says, and Avraham gives birth to Yitzchak. And we're told in the future, Yishlach Ezrcho Mikodesh, God will send your salvation from the holy place. And the Gemara says, from the holy place, that's the Kedusha, that's the holiness that you put into your life. Umitzioin, and from Tzioin Yisodeku, He will help you from Tzion. And the Gemara says, and the Mishnah, the Tanchuma says, Mitzion, what does it mean, Mitzion? Tzion are the symbols. Those are the things that you did. Everything that you do in life is a symbol. And every act that you do contains the life force. So everything that you do is a Tzion to the Chayas, to the Chaim. So the salvation from the future, in the future, is going to be a mirror of the life that you had in this world. So as much as you put passion into the things that you do in this world, that is what comes up in the future. Mitzion Yisodeko, your own salvation is going to, God is going to show you that your Tchias HaMesim, your resurrection, comes from those things that you planted. The passion that you plant in your worship of God, that is what God is going to show you in the future. And the thing is that Yitzchak will deny that. Yitzchak will say, I don't have any passion. I don't have anything. Only what you have, God. What am I? I don't exist. I'm a figment of your imagination, God. I'm nothing. I don't even exist in my own mind. All that exists is you. I look inside me. It's just you. And God says, true, but not true. Because I want you. I want you to enjoy the fruits of your own work. And that is really, you know, if the only human desire is to feel that the things that are coming to you, that you deserve them, you worked for them, that you're not just a parasite, you're not just something that feeds and is being fed. But you want to feel that these things that, you know, when we're talking about spiritually, right? When God says, here I am, and he shows, God shows us himself, that we feel, that we will be able to feel that we worked for that. Yitzchak says, it's just an illusion. Because even the desire that we had, that even the desire that my father had to worship God, and it's all a gift from God. True. True. And yet, Rabbi Shlem says, from the pain that you suffered in the tzimtzum, in the way that you had to practice self-control, or the illusion of self, and the pain, or the illusion of pain that you had, all those things are going to remain. And you, when I reveal myself to you, you're going to feel that it is in response. And even the tchias ha-mesim, even the resurrection of the dead, is going to come out in your future. You will see it's going to come out of your own belief in the resurrection of the dead, and in your own emunah and faith in me, and the faith that you had that the things that you do that were good had meaning. And so Yitzchak is capable of this amazing giving, not just to give to Rivka and to give pleasure and to give brochos, but when the Gemara says mechav le Yitzchak l'Kadosh Baruch Hu b'nai, even though normally we say that Malchus leis le'ainen, the sphere of Malchus has no eyes, and you know, when we talk about eyes, we don't just mean to see, but in ancient terms, the eye, you know, a well is called an eye. And when I was in Africa, when I was in Uganda, we were digging a well, and they kept on saying, "Yeah, you have to dig towards the eye." And every spring that comes out of the ground has an eye. And that's how people used to understand sight, that sight is something that comes from inside the person. It's like you have Mi'ira Seinayim, the light that comes out of your eyes, washes everything, bathes everything, and that's the power of seeing, comes not towards you as a reflection of sunlight hitting the retina, but rather something that comes out of you. Malchus leis le'ainin. Malchus has no eyes because it doesn't have shefa. It only receives shefa. And so it doesn't have eyes. And yet Yitzchak says, the Gemara says, Mechavle Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'inayu. Yitzchak is the one who's able to show us that inside us there's a constant stream, that we are a never-ending source. And even though Yitzchak says, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is God inside us, this is the life force that flows through us and into us, and it's never-ending, it's infinite. But this is God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's you. You're seeing me. You know, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know why you see me? Because you have the desire to worship and to see, and it's coming from Avraham. And the truth is, Yitzchak hailed is Avraham. The truth is, that's Yitzchak who gives birth to Avraham, right? Not Avraham who gives birth to Yitzchak. Because the desire for the glory of God that was in Avraham is a gift, as Yitzchak understands. Nevertheless, the Torah says, Avraham hailed is Yitzchak. Avraham gives birth to Yitzchak because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy the fruits of our labors. And bless everybody. Have a beautiful week.